I'm going to talk about suicide. I'm working on a book I have for the last couple of years. And it seems to me that that goes to the heart of some of the struggles we're having in the world, the choice of living or dying. And since I started working on that, I know you're out here, I've heard a lot of stories. So one thing I've learned when I started this, I had no idea that you have stories. All of you, maybe a few exceptions. But when I begin talking about that, if I allow space, you tell me your story. And most of the people here have been deeply affected at one time or another by the loss of someone, or you've had thoughts yourself, or you worry about someone. And I want you to know you're not alone. You might think you are, but you're not. Suicide is a taboo topic. So you don't know that we're all kind of dealing with that from time to time. I'm here to break that taboo. And I'm going to be inviting you to explore doing that yourselves. So I have a story. I'm not proud of it. But I'm going to share it with you. This was about 25 years ago, and I'm going to make it short because I have a lot of stuff I've learned that I want to get to. But 25 years ago, life just was not going Polly's way. I thought I was going to be in bankruptcy. I'd had to break off an engagement. I so wanted love in my life, it didn't seem to be happening. And my daughter, about whom life was, had grown up. How could she do this? And moved to California and didn't like me very much. And she wasn't really talking to me, so it was a horrible time. And this is also a little hard to share, but I have a relationship with a higher power God thing, and I felt betrayed by that. I wanted some things, I wanted love, and it wasn't happening. And on a particular day, it was enough. And I felt that I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to work with you, God, if you're not going to work with me. Come on. And I decided at that point to end my life. I have a terrible temper, and that was not helpful at that moment. I was very angry. And there's a kind of madness that can descend on one. I've learned that I was very typical because I didn't tell anybody. Nobody would have known. This was secret, this decision I'd made. And I set a date. I didn't make a plan. I didn't make an attempt. I'm still here. But I set a date, and I said, okay, God, if there's a better explanation for what's going on with me, if you got a better deal to offer me, I want to see it. Otherwise, I am done. So I sulked around for 20 days or so of my 30. Just a note that this is real typical. It's real common for the people closest to someone who dies by suicide to have no idea of what they were feeling. If we could break that taboo, I think that would help. Okay, so a lot of people, and I was one of them, are looking for a way out. They want someone to intervene. It doesn't help to keep a secret like that. It makes it a little hard for people. But I did speak to a friend. And she did three things, two of which did not work. One was all this stuff, you're young, you can find love, that stuff. That just makes someone in my state of mind furious, and it made me angry. It's like, you don't understand. There are guidelines, if you Google how to talk to someone about suicide, or AFSP.org, the American Federation, there are good guidelines on how to talk to somebody about this subject. So that didn't work, and then she said, and again, it hurts me that this was true, but it's true. She said, what about your daughter? And I said, she'll be fine. So how could that be? The truth of it is that I love my daughter, and I'm not a selfish person. That is not what happens when someone leaves kids behind. I thought that my life had no value. I thought my daughter, living forward with a broke getting older single mom to worry about. And if she had to go forward with a grief of losing me but not having to worry about me, I thought she'd be better off. It was a kind of madness, and I was wrong. But that's how I believed, and I'm not alone in that experience. So the thing that did work, and I have a feeling, I had no idea how much I'd get to share with you, and this might end up being most of it. But the thing that worked, she asked me, would you do me a favor? Would you walk me through your funeral? I said, sure. Okay, so I'm going to do that with you guys. This is the vision I had with her, and it snapped me out of this path I was on. I pictured a big hall, big room, dimly lit, little light in the corners, and a table in the middle. I'm on the table. There's no one there. Until in the back corner, a couple people came in. I did not know them well, but I recognized them. Two or three more from the other corner, 10 or 15 people around me. And what happened was, these were not my nearest and dearest. They were just in my community. They were sad. The truth of that scene was that there was grief in that room. They were so sorry that I'd done what I did and that they weren't there to help. And that broke me out of, because I wasn't going to do harm. I just hadn't understood it was harm. So what did I learn? And what am I learning in the book? What I'm learning is, it's not our nearest and dearest that can make life worth living. But if there's trouble there, it's trouble. We need to belong. I didn't invent this. People who study suicide, belongingness. That means you're part of a group who know you for who you are and accept you as a member of the group. Now, cave people knew about this. Their survival depended on it. Banishment, excommunication, solitary confinement are the worst punishments. We need to belong. And in 30 years, when suicide rates have done this, our sense of belonging, school, home, work, church, we don't have those communities. I don't want to go back to the 1950s. We can build that now, but we need to do it differently to find. So what have I done personally? A few things. Family of choice. I've learned to tell who loves me and who does not. And I spend my time with people who do. It's not what they say, it's what they do. Do they want me to good things for me, or do they wish me harm? It's easy to tell the difference if you'll let yourself do it. I spend my time with family of choice. The second thing I've done is I quit moving. You can't put down roots if you keep ripping them up. I still move, but I move across the street now, so I stay in the community. I've done that several times. It's a little hard to explain, but I've stayed in my community. I belong to organizations that do nothing for me except I love them. And the third thing I've done is to start noticing when connection occurs. When I know the name of the person who delivers my mail, when I speak about suicide, as I'm doing now, making a connection, I notice it, and I let it happen, and I enjoy it. So, if you mention to somebody that you heard this talk on this subject, and you leave a space, they may tell you their story, if they have one. And I would ask you to let that space happen, and don't turn away. Thank you.